Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, hello. Hello, Yeshud Harel. Hello. And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about educating for emotional balance in a connected family.
Yeah.
In the family, there's a large variety of emotions that, and usually there's more than one child, so things become even more complicated. And we're all influenced by many forces that are operating on us, different kinds of pressure. The parents can come aggravated from work. A child can come really happy from school because he aced at a test, or he's really angry because he had a fight with someone, etc., etc. And many of these things, they affect how we feel and how we treat other family members. And on our previous shows, we said that we want for children to know how to accept, how to relate to life in a balanced way, and how to relate that way to other family members and to life in general and other people. But everything starts from home. And actually, on this show, we would like to learn how to deal with the emotional component in our life, both for our children to learn how to correctly deal with their emotions, and for us to really be able to live in a family in which there are better relations and that it is more connected. Now, I'd like to open with a question. Just before that, to mention that we're asking you questions as a Kabbalist. We expect to get an answer from a Kabbalist and not from a psychologist. So the first question that I'd like to open with is, how do you define a balanced, emotionally balanced family member? An emotionally balanced family? Yeah, the family members, each and of themselves, each, you know, that are also emotionally balanced. That they know how to get along with each other, how to hold each other up, support each other, really how to help each other to be balanced. This needs to be a good, pleasant atmosphere. And there also has to be an attempt to balance the family. Everyone should. Even a little child has to be taught how to keep a balanced atmosphere in the family. So going to the other extreme, what is an unbalanced atmosphere in the family? Where a child feels that his behavior really pushes the family out of balance. When they start hearing him yell, that he starts shaking up the general atmosphere in the family, that everyone needs to disconnect from whatever they're doing and to pay attention to him. These things, each person in the family needs to know that everyone needs to make sure that the family is balanced, calm, that there is a general feeling that everyone wants to keep this straight line. And even if someone wants to draw everyone's attention on themselves, they have to do it in a way that is appropriate in the family. You know, that it comes up to someone during dinner, suppose, when everyone sits down to eat, or in short, he has to know when is the time in which he can introduce his problem, his deficiency to the family and, suppose, shake them up. Suppose he has a problem, even though that he's a little child. Then there's a time for this, and there's no time for that. And can a child learn how to do these things? You have to tell him. Let's suppose you can talk about your problems at such and such hours. So we actually have to teach him how to overcome his feelings, because many times people are overwhelmed with their feelings and you want to narrate, no. This is unacceptable in a family. First of all, a child is taught in the family that, of course, there is room for everything, but also there is a time and place for everything. Okay, that everything has a time and place, that's great. And from what age can a child begin to understand these things, or to at least start advancing in that direction? When we start teaching him, taking a little child, for example, you know, his emotions are very extroverted. It's enough that he couldn't put together a puzzle. He comes crying to his parents. Someone took something. You know, they can't monitor themselves emotionally. Everything comes out. Instantly. So from what age is it okay, or to start with it from young age and it goes and grows over time? Dr. Lightman, depending what problems, not that much on the age, I can explain to a child that this is something that I myself can't do anything about, but suppose that when we will be together with mom, who's now in the kitchen, then we will sit together and we will hear and we will do what he wants. We'll talk about it, but along with mom. Now, not to stop life toward that, but as the family goes and flows, he has to fit into that thing. What's the right attitude toward feelings in the family? What should a child be taught about feelings, emotions? That, first of all, emotions, you have to open them up, make room for them, express them in the proper situation. Suppose, while we're eating, we do not start scrutinizing different things. We talk only about the food, and could be about some movie, some series that they watch, the family, suppose. Different such things that aren't directly related in an important way to the family. You said that a balanced family, an emotionally balanced family member, are family members that know how to get along, how to support each other and help each other be balanced. Why is it that when you said what an emotionally balanced person is, you as if took a person from that state to his ability to be balanced with others, to support them, to get along with each other? Why isn't emotional balance something related strictly to the person, but you take it to a relationship with another person, Dr. Lightman? Because balance does not depend on the person himself only, especially that we're talking about children in a family or a family in general, but balance depends on the entire family. A family is a group in which everyone's interdependent, where everyone feels the others in a very, how to say, inner way, emotionally, in a gentle, subtle way, that each of us has impressions about the others and memories about different things that we're not even aware of. But if everyone, you know, enters that character of the mother, the brother, the father, the whatever, I can't behave in a family like I behave in any other place. Here, I need to know that this is, on the one hand, a place to express my most direct personal feelings. On the other hand, it is a place to express my most heartly attitude. And that you're saying that the family is balanced, how does that influence the balance of an individual? I have to balance myself out according to the family. And when I come out, when I eventually come out with that, Dr. Lightman, I do not relate what I have on the outside with what happens with the family. So my attitude should be different, how I relate to my family and how I relate to kids at school, Dr. Lightman. Of course, a family is a family. It's something that doesn't resemble, there's no connection between how I behave inside the family and outside of it. Yael, you said that there is some kind of an entire relationship system, which is the family system, that is synchronized in a certain way. And you're saying we have to care for it, even a little child. And this is very unusual, that a little child has to make sure not to push the entire family out of balance. This is something that no child is aware of nowadays, Dr. Lightman. It all depends on how we, the grown-ups, relate to it. Yeah. Why is it so important for the child to also be concerned with the family's balance? Dr. Lightman, he'll learn about it from us, that when I do something or when he comes to me and says something, I say, shh, no, I can't be this way, otherwise everyone will start making noise and things. I can't do that. I give him a feeling, an example of what can I do and what can't I. And this is something that children do understand. Yael, what does a child learn his entire emotional behavior from, Dr. Lightman? From his parents, of course, from the family. Yael, is there a point in teaching him different things emotionally, Dr. Lightman? The main thing is to show him an example. Examples are the main thing. Yael, children in a connected environment, how will that eventually contribute? Will they come out more balanced into life in general? Dr. Lightman, they'll come out more balanced. They'll know how to correctly relate to others, how not to disturb society. They'll be accepted in a better, more proper way everywhere. First of all, they'll be such that they won't disturb anyone. Wherever they will be, they will not be a disturbance. Oh, and is it important not to be a disturbance, Dr. Lightman? It's important not only to be a person who's not only a disturbance, but that he's practically unfelt. Oh, and why, Dr. Lightman? Because then it means that he's convenient. Oh, and so if a person develops the ability not to disturb others, because I see that when we talk about a person being internally and externally balanced, you immediately relate it to his interactions with those around him, whether it's at home or outside.
You're as
if broadening a person's boundaries. A person isn't only he himself with his inner world, inner emotions, but it is his relations with other people. Where does a person end, Dr. Lakeman, to the measure to which he permeates others? Oh, and so what is a balanced, emotionally balanced person, Dr. Lakeman? That he does not disturb others, that he doesn't enter them, he doesn't touch them. They feel to some extent that he's next to them and that it is possible to interact with them, but not that there's a problem here, that he enters you and you need to somehow get him out of yourself or relate, react to this. Yeah, so there's a softer connection that he doesn't disturb, Dr. Lightman. On the one hand, on the other hand, there's a different problem that people might start if a person does this excessively, that it is not felt that he is among them, and then they'll, you know, they become afraid of him not being felt among them, like he's like a spy or something. But people should feel comfortable with him, convenient, comfortable. That's the thing. Yeah, suppose in a family where you don't get angry, they tell the child, we don't get angry. Is that the right thing? Or when there is some kind of an emotional aspect missing, is it a correct situation? Dr. Lightman, it's not good because by this we rob a child of his development, because how will he know how to treat others? A family is that school that he comes out of and later on behaves that way outside. And besides, it forms a correct behavior in him toward the rest of the world and for life, as it says, raise a child in his own ways, because even when he will grow old, he'll keep doing the same, Dr. Layton. Right, so the second part of the sentence is very important. Oh, and I'm getting many questions. What is an emotionally balanced parent that he shows the child that he is alive, he takes interest in all these things that he has in life, in the family, at work, probably in other places, but that he holds himself together in a way that he is courteous to everyone, to everything, and he feels and also takes interest in everything that goes on around him. Next question. If in a child or in a parent there's anger or another emotion that disturbs others, how should we relate to that as parents, Dr. Lightman? To give an example of how we relate to this in a balanced way, how do we quench the anger? How do we arrange all these things? Oh, and does this approach not suppress the emotions that awaken in a child naturally, his inner need to express himself? Dr. Lightman, why suppression? Oh, because he has a certain emotion awakening in him, Dr. Lightman. I don't quench it. I already talked about this. I given an example of how I relate to this. Yeah. For example, he came very angry from school. He had a fight with someone and he behaves at home in a very unpleasant way. You know, he doesn't do what he's told. He's really angry at everything. I'm a mother in the middle of life with everything that I'm doing. How do I relate to this? Dr. Lightman, if you're in the middle of your things, then it's very hard. If a kid's already at school, I'd sit him next to me at the table. I take a clean slate of paper and I would draw. This is Yossi, for example, his name. And this is, how do you call him? Dudi. So, Dudi hurt, offended Yossi, right? And I draw this kind of arrow. And what does Yossi do? Did he offend, hurt Dudi or not? No. Yossi went to Chaim. And together with Chaim, they came to Dudi. In short, I want to make, to put it in a drawing and then for him to explain to me on that drawing, not, you know, that he's raging with his emotions, that he'll explain on the drawing what is he doing and everything, but on paper. And then, first of all, we bring it down to reality in a different way. Another thing is that we start discussing what can we do in that case. What is Dudi right about? What isn't he? What does Yossi want to do in return? Beat him up or complain about him, and so on. So, for it to be clear, for all of these things to be clear to us on paper, not in the air. Yeah, on paper, why? Because it distances him emotionally. Dr. Lapin, yeah. And then, after we draw all these things on paper, we have a map of emotions and maybe actions, or I don't know, about what do we want to come to. And how are we supposed to reach it? Oh, in another situation. The child's offended, or he's very angry, and he locks himself in the room. It all happens at home. How are the parents supposed to relate to that? Well, first of all, we need to help him come out of the room. We will knock once or twice. We will invite him for something. And if he will nonetheless if he doesn't want to anyway, we pay no more attention to him until he himself will come out. And when he does come out, asks Owen, Dr. Lightman, we don't pay attention to him. Yeah, what's the principle that we should learn from this? Dr. Lightman, I want to show the child that I do not give excessive attention to the way that he behaves. He wants to be that way, fine, but that it doesn't influence me. Is it important to talk about it to the child afterwards, or just put it aside as if it never happened? Dr. Lightman, as if it never happened. No point in talking about it or nothing. And then over time, maybe later, maybe after lots of time, we can remember this somehow. And to say that it's better not to behave that way, even though that we understand his eruption, that he's offended, and so on. Yeah, so on the one hand, to understand him and identify with him, and on the other side, to show that he breached this behavior, but he draws all the attention at the wrong time. This is something that we aren't willing to accept. We don't relate to that as if. Oh, in a different situation of emotional balance, I have a child who's afraid of failure, and the failure and the fear of failure paralyzes him. It causes him to fail tests, competitions. He's afraid to try out his achievements, even at things that he's good, but the fear, it paralyzes him. How do I help him come out of that emotional paralysis? Dr. Lakeman, we have to give him examples from life, tell him about examples in life, about how we were unsuccessful at something, and then we did succeed. And even if I didn't succeed at something, then it's not my realm. It's not my thing. And to talk about that anyone could be good at something and less good at something else, and don't have to be the best student or whatever. Yeah, and we know that there are families that the parents push children to do something. Suppose the child's not good at something, so they push the child to succeed. And suppose many times it has to do with school, Dr. Lakeman. I understand. So we have to tell the child, first of all, we want for him to be healthy, behave properly, and all in all, we'll make sure that his grades are, you know, normal, but not that he has to be the champion, a champion in something. Oh, and one more question. Previously, I've described how together with a child, we draw a map of emotions. So a question that I got here, how, if there is a feeling of anger, how do we deal with that? Dr. Lakeman, this is why you bring it down to a drawing. Oh, and in that drawing, I have strong anger. Sometimes, you know, a person can't deal with it. Dr. Lakeman, so take a red pencil, you know, marker, and draw it, yeah, even like this, a few times, go over it. That it'll be clear to him that it is no more than, you know, than a drawing, that's it. Yeah, you're saying that anger is no more than the drawing itself. So what should I tell a child about the emotion itself, Dr. Lakeman? That there's a limit to all of our emotions, relations. These things happen and they will happen. Let's, like we did the sketch, let's draw everything that happens to us in life, and you'll see that everything just stays on paper. Last question. How to teach a child to monitor this place? You know, when he feels like it, he feels berserk. He goes berserk. So, how do you bring him to a state where, you know, nothing happened, it's okay? Dr. Lakeman, are you doing the sketch or not? Yeah, I am, but I'm talking about eruptions. We want to teach a child how to control his emotions, that he won't go with it, flow with it, because it, you know, explodes everything. How do I teach him how to stop? A sketch is one thing, a drawing. Do I have other means to teach him how to stop? Dr. Lakeman, usually, if you start talking about it, it discharges the tension. Oh, and unfortunately, our time's up. What's the most important thing about emotional balance in a connected family? Dr. Lakeman, emotional balance is an example from the family where each shows the others how he keeps his inner balance and the balance of the entire family. Thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.